This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week's episode is brought to you by Poe's Magic Conference, which is going to be happening in Baltimore on August the 18th through the 21st of this year. So be sure to check them out. There will be an ad about midway during this podcast, and also that information will be on the Magic Convention Guide, which I suggest you go and check out from time to time just to kind of see what conventions are going on around the world, as well as some that might be in your neighborhood. So go check it out, and also consider attending Poe's Magic Conference. Again, if you go to the MagicWordPodcast.com website and click on Magic Convention Guide, you will see more information there in August that you can hear a more extended information about what's happening at this convention. Well, this week we're going to be traveling to the island of Mauritius, and if you're wondering what is Mauritius and where is Mauritius, well, I don't want to give that all away because we talk pretty much at length a lot about this at the beginning. Trust me, we'll get into some magic fairly soon, but I was very interested to find out more about the island itself. It sounds like the tropical paradise that it actually is, and so my guest this week, William Watt, is a friend who I see every year at Padavia, New York, which is where they host the 4F convention. That's Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic. This year, it was the third year we had a virtual convention. And so I saw him online and we started chatting, saying, hey, let's get together. I've been wanting to talk with you. And because of the problems we've had, not being able to get together physically, the best way to do it then was doing this virtual event. And so I suggest if you want to see a little bit of what thing we were talking about and to see William and I talk, plus some other additional video, including William performing, be sure to go to the MagicWordPodcast.com and you can click on a video there that you can. It'll take you to the YouTube website where you can watch that as well. Well, this is a little bit longer episode than normal, so I'm going to cut right to it and introduce my guest here this week. So please welcome my guest from Mauritius, Mr. William Watt, here on The Magic Word. Very often whenever I start these episodes, I say it gives me great pleasure and I'm really excited about getting to talk with this next guest. And this is no less true with this person that we're going to be talking with today, because this is someone I see from year to year only at the 4F convention out in Batavia, New York, because it's a long way for him to come over to the U.S. for any other reason. And it's such an important event that he does make this particular trip. He comes all the way from Mauritius, which is an island, which we're going to find out some more about where this is. And it's a tropical island. And I think it may be a French emirate because he is speaks such fluent French. And it's just, and he does some of the most marvelous magic every time I see him. It's just tremendous. And I want to talk about some of that with him as to some of the magic that how he creates and what some of his favorite books are and how he studies magic and things like that. Someone who performs on the island of Mauritius on a regular basis. And I'm really lucky to have a few moments of his time because he is, I don't know how many other magicians are on the island, but he is a busy guy. Please welcome my buddy. Here he is, William Watt. Hey there, William.
Hello, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you being available because there is a 9-hour time differential, I think, between the two of us right now. So here it's early in the morning and it's late afternoon then for you as we talk right now. So you are in Mauritius and I want to kind of get that out of the way. Tell me exactly where is Mauritius located?
Okay, Mauritius is a very small island. It is located on the east coast of South Africa. So if you visualize South Africa, on your side here is Madagascar, mm-hmm. Big Madagascar here, and Mauritius is a very tiny confetti in the Indian Ocean. So it is in the south hemisphere, and it is in GMT plus four.
It's funny also, you say you're near Madagascar, so it's funny that I think Disney had a film called Madagascar. So it just could have, if they got a little bit over, it could have been called Mauritius.
It could. Actually, it's true. And you know what's funny is that there's something very famous about Mauritius. Hmm. And it is from Mauritius that is famous. It is the dodo. The dodo, the bird.
The dodo bird,
probably you've seen it. Everybody knows it used to be a species that was killed by the human being. Mm-hmm. And it's famous around the world. You see it in some movies sometime, or they mention it sometime, and it is from Mauritius.
Well, sorry for some of the listeners who might be saying, why does he keep talking about Mauritius? Let's talk a little bit of a middle of magic, but I just think that that's fascinating. It's very interesting. So is it a French emirate? You speak French. Were you in France and moved mm-hmm. to Mauritius, sir?
I was born and raised in France, and then I moved 5 years ago to Mauritius. Mm. And we are talking about it because it is a crazy adventure, a very big, crazy part of my life to come here. So what I'm very happy to share, it's really the fact that just go where you want and things will follow, because I'm experiencing crazy stuff here. And I was not expecting this. So it's in particular also on the personal level, but also on the magic level.
Wow. Now, you had, I assume, studied magic in France then before that you had moved to Mauritius.
Exactly.
Okay. So the obvious question is, why Mauritius as opposed to Madagascar or on the continent? It is weird.
What happened is that clearly it was the options were more why not the US and why Mauritius? Because that was the two options I had.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And true story, a friend sent me one day a ticket, a flight ticket, to come and visit him here in Mauritius. And I came. And I had no idea about this island. And when I first came, I met few people. And from that very first trip, I did a total of 8 trips within 1 year on this island. And 20 shows in different places. More and more, I was coming to Mauritius. More and more, I was extending my stay here. And more, I could feel the energy. And I really, really thought about the idea of moving, because there was a lot of places to perform in. As I was traveling a lot at that time, I just felt like it's a perfect base to be in between two flights. And I'm happy also to be very close to nature, to be able to scuba dive. And also here you can have a very nice hike. So it's a balanced place for me at the moment, at this moment of my life.
Wow. It sounds like you're living the life in paradise and doing whatever you really want to do from the standpoint of performing magic and being paid and having a nice lifestyle. That's amazing, living the dream.
It is. And actually, it is the crazy part of it, because I could have stayed in Paris. There was much more opportunities, especially when you want to become famous. And it is not really my stuff. I mean, I'm very happy to be recognized as a professional magician and as a good magician. Of course, I think it's nice to be famous, but clearly you don't come to Mauritius if you want to become a famous magician. You just stay in Paris, or maybe you fly to LA. And that was one of my options. I really wanted to thought about going to LA.
I think what you have done is you have gone to a place where it is giving you personal happiness, it sounds like.
Exactly. It is really the right balance, because a lot of my life is based on my spirituality. So I like the energy of the island, because I'm very close to nature and all the elements such as water that I love. And then the other side, of course, the main ingredient, work. And I coming for 1 year, it was not just a postcard that you see beautiful. More and more I was coming, I could experience the island, see what was possible or not. And I just felt, just let go. And as they were, you know, the expression to have many green lights, you know, that lights up.
Yes.
So there were more green light than red lights. So I just went for craziness, actually, because at one point it's a little bit of craziness, thinking I'm going to drop all what I'm doing in Europe, because I was doing very well. I was working very well. I was performing all the time. I was making good money. But I was just thinking, let's go for this adventure. And it's really crazy, because I never thought I would live on an island in my life.
Wow. And how many people live on Mauritius? I mean, what's the population approximately?
1.2 million people.
Wow. Not a lot of people. Not a lot of people.
Nope.
Yeah. Completely. So the main language is French, I assume?
Actually, because it used to be a French colony and then an English colony, a British colony, the official language when you speak is French, and actually also Creole, which is the local language. And the official language when you write is English.
Okay. Now, you are how old right now?
I'm 43.
43. Okay. So you were in your 30s when you had made the decision to come to Mauritius.
Yes.
I assume the friend who you came to visit to begin with, who had kind of inspired you and thinking, hey, this is great, was not necessarily a magician?
Not at all. Not at all. It was just a friend. And this friend, at that moment, actually, I was working a lot, but I also had a lot of responsibilities on my back, including actually my mom, who had a stroke back in 2011. And when I came for the first time, 2016, I was, I think, maybe a little bit affected by all this stuff. I was taking care of her. So a lot was going on. And he realized I was so tired. He said, you have to come to Mauritius. I said, I got to work. I have so much work. I was working all the time. And he said, you have to come a minimum of 10 days. He was not at all a magician. He was really trying to give me some good time here.
As far as the types of work that you were doing in Paris, was it for corporate work? Or did I assume restaurants or bistros are really not a thing like they are in the U.S. where you can do strolling around, that kind of a thing. So where did you work there?
Okay, so exactly. When I started doing magic in France, I started with a lot of restaurants. So yes, when I started my career, I worked in restaurants, and this was a great way to try my tricks, to learn them, to meet people, to give my business card. My business card started to move around in Paris. So then after, it opened the door to many private and corporate events, and I was really doing very well. And then it was mostly for companies. There are hotels in France, of course, but the design doesn't have anything to look in what a resort is here. Because when you travel to Paris, you just sleep in the hotel, then you have the whole city to visit, so you don't stay. But here in Mauritius, the hotel is my main client. And so it's a completely new way of working, completely new type of client. There are many different cultures. The way of working has nothing to do. The way I dress had to be adjusted. And it was a very big stuff I had not seen coming, all the impact it would have had on how I perform and the way I have to manage. There's so many stuff that came in the way. Maybe I'll tell you later. I can tell you now what was the difference I had to deal with.
Yeah, I would like to go into why the differences and how you had to change once you got to Mauritius. But when you were in the restaurants, you were not working then for tips, but then mainly to give out your business cards. But getting the jobs there, was that easy to try to find the right kind of place? Because I would think you have to find the right venue that has the right clientele who would be the ones who would hire you, who have the money to have you come work for their company or be good for you, I guess, to make money to work for their private in their homes or castles or wherever.
You're talking about Paris, right?
In Paris right now. Yes, sir. Right.
Yeah. To be honest, really, the first thing is I would take anything at first because I wanted to work.
Okay.
So every opportunity was an opportunity. And of course, after, I was not, it was easy to know if the thing would work or not. It was easy. And I had a few places I was working. And what's great also in Paris is that depending on the area you're staying, of course, you will be able to target different type of markets. I had a brunch, and this brunch was very famous in the brunches in Paris. So what people like to do in Paris, they like to go brunch somewhere on this Sunday, then next week they will go on another place. So you would have an average good mix. And then, of course, what's great is that people who get your card, they are working in companies. So most people who would see you, they work in the companies. So they can very quickly identify to if they want to work with you. And also people who do their private events, their wedding, their party, their birthday, their kid party also. So to be honest, it was just fun. A lot of work. I've been doing restaurant for 7 years. And at one point, I realized it was taking too much of my time as I had a lot of corporate events. So I decided to stop at one point. But, it has never been a matter of doing any advertising, never been about my website. It has always been my best business card was just me doing my work.
It sounds like I had a kind of a mission statement and a business plan.
Yes, actually, my degree in marketing was very helpful because we magicians have different background, depending on how we studied, what we studied or interested ourselves in.
Right.
And doing marketing was a very powerful key for me. And of course, the advice of other professionals that does the job also. And I will never forget, I had my business card printed online. It was not expensive. The design was good enough. And if I go to a restaurant, there are four people at the table, four people would have the card. And even if sometimes you find your business card on the floor, it's okay. But still many kept it. And yeah, it was fun. Sometimes you just forget it, but it's okay. And it's the best way for your name to start to spread well in your city. So yes, business card was a big stuff for me.
Let me ask about that. As far as that being the case some years ago, is that still the case? In other words, a lot of people have ways of exchanging information with their phones by tapping it or sending it or different kinds of digital ways of getting out your information and making sure they get your website and cards, rather phone information, everything. Do you use that now?
This is a very interesting topic you're pointing out. I don't use that. And I think it's also great to use the same method in magic. I will explain this point.
Okay.
When you give a business card, it's of course it can be seen as an old way of working, but still it is something they can touch physically, mm-hmm. and they will see it because it's somewhere in the bag. It's somewhere in the purse. If you when I have any number from someone, except for example, you meet a pretty girl, of course you call her the next day, but a magician, of course you can still, if you know you have the name in your phone, it's okay giving a physical business card as some meaning, and also people will see it because it will be in their purse, it will be in their bag, in their wallet. And this is something I believe that should stay. Of course, we are in a new world. We can do it with virtual stuff. But I think that when we do virtual stuff, it's not as powerful in the mind. And maybe people will I don't know. I don't think it's better. I don't think it's not good. I just feel like I'm very happy to hand my business card. And of course, nowadays, you have so many ways magically to give the cards. I don't think it is better. I think everybody should go his way, but that's my decision. But I applied this also to magic. And recently, I was listening to Peter Turner, and it was interesting that he said that if, for example, we use a digital way to perform something, is great that, for example, the reveal is not on the digital stuff again. It has to be on a piece of paper in an envelope somewhere. And I understand the way of thinking. Once again, it's not the reality. It's one reality out of different realities, depending on who you are. But I believe that nowadays we should pay attention to what people can physically touch or see. Because if we just go digital, I believe somehow we loosen some a part of it.
Well, I understand exactly what you're saying, particularly when you're talking about Peter Turner, where he's doing a lot of mind reading, mentalism, where you would have to have physical things where you write down something or you need to get a peek or whatever it's going to be. But moreover, there are physical things that people can take with them as a reminder. All we have really is a business card or a playing card with their name on it or something. And we assign a lot more value to that, I think, than what our volunteers or spectators may. Whenever I have had people sign a card thinking, here, you can keep this as a souvenir and reminder of the evening. And then whenever I leave the restaurant, I notice they I've just kind of left it there with the rest of their trash. You know, it's like some people want it and some people don't, but you never know.
You know, when you do this kind of stuff, I believe that once again, some people will keep it, some people will just leave it on the table. But if they keep it, they're going to keep it for a long time. And sometimes you meet them years after, and they still have the card in their wallet because for them it has a meaning. I mean, when I was young, it was a crazy stuff to meet a magician. But when I started magic, it is actually my girlfriend at that time had the card, the business card of a magician. And for me, watching at the magician business card, and it was like something, it was not common. Once again, maybe that was my feeling. It's okay if it's not everybody's feeling. But to me, it was something special. You have somebody, you have a magician business card. This is not something you can see more so often. And we have very unique business cards because most of the time we have our face on it. We have maybe a way we dress, a color, a funny stuff on it. It's not the average business card with just a name. And for example, mine is still quite classical, but it has some very subtle stuff that people would a little bit pay attention to it. And I believe, well, maybe some people will just throw it away. You don't, it's okay. But, you know, we can show a very funny business card sometimes. You know, then after everybody deals with it and the way they want. But that's my position on it.
Yeah, actually. Well, interesting. I've had this discussion with others as to the relevance of business cards in today's society, whether they should be using that or digital or whatever. Obviously, that we are all using email to send contracts back and forth and to contact and stay in contact and communicate with our clients and everything then, too. But, yeah, when it comes to old-fashioned letters, there's nothing like a thank you letter that someone receives physically in the mail saying, thanks for hiring me.
Exactly. And you know what? I'm really thinking about this topic at the moment because back in the day when I was young, when I was receiving a letter, you know, from someone you love, you would read that forever until you get the next one. It was not so obvious you would receive the next one within the next month.
Right.
You know? And the thing is, nowadays, we receive small messages on the phone, text message, and it doesn't build any deep things anymore like it used to before. First, because we just text so quickly, so easily, and we don't have any emotion built in between messages. I love you. Oh, I love you too. There's no thing that stays in between, so we're losing some stuff. So I don't want to feel like, okay, it was better before, because that's, I don't think we should behave this way. But I think that we should in somehow preserve. And when I do my card to pocket using a mnemonica, and I just control the card, the person names, and very quickly I tell them, you know what, before I did start the show, I had one card in my pocket. When I was performing magic in Paris, I had to be fast. I had to have a strong impact within a short time because people, I had no time to give story to it. And this crowd also is so specific, let's say. People would say hard or tough, but it's such a specific crowd that you just need to hit them with one effect and the next one, and the next one. And when you perform in magic in a restaurant, sometimes you just need to show as quickly as you can what you can do. When you perform in trade shows, most of the time, once again, our corporate events, you need you have 10 tables of 10 seats each table, 100 people, you have to do all your tables, you don't have the time to build many things, or you're just very short on the time. Here, I take the time, and I realize that between the moment the person says the card and the moment the person, I reveal the card, I build such a big and intense moment playing jokes and having fun with them, having a good laugh. And I'm sure that this trick is more powerful now, not because the card was in the pocket, but because we built emotions up and down. And this is the reason why the trick can be remembered after, not because the card was in the pocket. But of course, if you play with it, if you make it impossible, so then you build, you play so much with them, that I think it's very important to now try to stimulate as much as we can the fact that they're going to go through emotions, not just boom, 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 boom. So that's what I wanted to share with you.
I hope that everybody is listening intently to what you just were saying there, because it's not the trick. We're not trying to fool them, but you're really pointing to the fact that we are having a contact, an emotional contact with the audience, and that's what people will remember, were those memories. Sure, they were fooled, and they can tell the story about how this happened, but they want to tell the story because they feel an emotional tie to the magician, to you, having talked about them and something that they have experienced. It's not like, hey, this guy did this, it appeared here and then disappeared, and then it was all of a sudden there. But the reason they're telling the story is because of what, of why you have made that important to their life at that moment.
Exactly. And you know, whatever you do will fool them, that's okay. But now, if I compare, I leave them speechless when I take this time.
Ah, good point.
So I realize that the impact is really different, because I'm also doing, hey, you know what? And I'm more and more good at acting. So when I tell them, hey, you know what? I'll do something even better for you. You know what? Mm-hmm. Let's forget about all this stuff. You name the Eight of Diamonds, and just for you, without touching the car, I'll turn it into a Seven of Hearts. It gets a huge laugh, you know. They are completely lost. They think this is my way out, because it's impossible that the card is. So you're even digging more and more the impact on them. And it's... And I believe, you know, it's like if you try to make a if you want to put some seed, you know, in the soil, you can try to make a small line, or you should make a deeper line, so you're sure that the seed will be better. And I think that this is a small difference. If you don't dig deep enough, the seed will never grow, because maybe the sun will burn it before it's alive, or maybe just the bird will find it. But we create the emotion. We want to put the seed as deep as possible, so we are sure something is starting to rise. But that's actually, you know, it's just theories. It's just the way of thinking. And I think whatever we do, it's not a problem. It's we should just think about it just enough to make sure that it has a meaning for us, and that it will be, even if people don't know all of that, but they will feel it. And this is make the connection with Juan Tamariz. He did this where did he say that? You know, he said it's it is the seven things you should know about magic. And there is love at the beginning, love of magic, and of course, love of what you do. And also part of it, of the seven points, is the knowledge. And it's like, the more you know about what you're doing, even if people don't know, they will feel it. So the more we think of what we're doing, even if we don't explain to people what we are thinking, they will feel that we master our craft. They will feel that something is happening. And I love this idea.
Wow, yeah, that is important. There is a great convention coming up in Baltimore in August, from the 18th through the 21st, and I have with me now one of the organizers of the convention to tell a bit more about it, Mr. Vince Wilson. Hi there, Vince.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me on again. It's a pleasure.
You bet. So tell me, this is going to be happening in mid-August, and Baltimore, tell me which hotel, what's happening?
Yeah, it's in Baltimore City, the historic Lord Baltimore Hotel, a beautiful Art Deco hotel in the heart of Baltimore City. It's August 18th to 21st, 2022. This year, it's going to be live and in person at the Lord Baltimore. And we're very excited to have, as our keynote speaker, Jeff McBride, who's on the East Coast for the very first time in several years, actually, even before the pandemic. We're also honored to have, one of the world's greatest magicians, Peter Samuelson, the great magic and mentalism of Ket Nepper, Sylvia Scepter, Karina Fenton from England, Mark Strivings, Hiawatha, et cetera, et cetera. And so many more wonderful magicians. Of course, Scott Wells will be there as well.
I will be there.
We're very excited about that.
You're expecting about 200 people or so, is that right?
Yeah, we would have had 200 people if everything had gone according to plan in 2020. And obviously, we know what happened with that.
Right.
But we do expect numbers similar to that, especially with Jeff being there and such a great lineup of magicians and the amazing opportunities that the uniqueness of theatrical magic can bring to your career.
And just to be clear also, this is now called Poe's Magic Conference. Before, it was a bizarre
convention. It was called Bizarre Hauntings before, because it was in Gettysburg at a haunted hotel. But we realized fairly early that kind of confused people, because is it a haunted conference? Is it for people who run haunted houses or spooky magicians?
Right.
And we wanted to offer the theatrical magic quality to every magician. We don't want to single out just spooky performers. All of our performers and lecturers who are going to be headlining there are theatrical magicians, and you can learn a lot from that kind of level of magic.
That'd be great. I'm looking forward to being there and to seeing you and to learning from these other magical and mystical magicians and teachers like Jeff and Paul Prater and so many other guys. That's going to be great. So for those people who are interested in getting more information and registering, where can they go?
PoesMagicConference.com. That's in P-O-E-S as in Edgar Allan Poe, P-O-E-S, MagicConference.com.
Sounds great. Well, I will see you there, and I hope to see many of you listeners there as well. One of the things I mentioned early on in this broadcast also was about how you select particular tricks to be in your repertoire and how you make them uniquely yours. You personalize these kinds of things. And also you have some of your own creations. There's really nothing, I don't think, on the market that you have commercially available, but you take commercial ideas and put the William Watt twist on this. What is your thought process in your trick selection?
Thank you so much, and this is a big honor when you say that, because it is a very big thing, I think, for any magician to at one point be identified on some touch, some twist, some identity, and so I'm glad you felt that. So thank you, because it is my work. I'm trying my best. I'm not a big creator. The thing I believe now to me is... first of all, when you perform in a restaurant and when you perform for any audience, you have the opportunity to show your material, to show your new stuff. And the best thing you have is the people reaction. And then you already know, okay, from this, maybe this is too long, this is too short, this needs to be clarified, and this doesn't work. And then slowly, from one moment to the other, it changes. Then after, part of the ingredient on your journey on building the trick, but I think I don't do anything specific, you know, but after I also include the mistakes I do, because from one mistake, you realize, hey, that's great. That's fun. That builds something new. And then you learn from your mistakes, but this is nothing special. Then after, for example, maybe you remember the last thing I've shared with the Forex, which was my Las Vegas routine. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, with the prediction, the card, and the hotel exactly. key. Mm-hmm. It was a great, exactly. great suggestion.
So it involved different tools, and it was hard for me. I had one of these tools that magician here knows, and it's called a DFB, such as Digital Force Bag. I had it for years, and really, really, I didn't use it because there was no meaning for me to use it, because I thought that if I use something such as a list, it has to have a meaning. And I believe that everybody has their meaning, but for me, this was the perfect one to use. And I want to make sure that if I see it, it needs to, when I perform it, and I think, once again, I don't create anything new here, but I think I should be fooled. It should interest me. So this is something very important that I pay attention to this. Also, it is something I say, and I really understand now. This routine works and is very powerful. It's the latest one I've created. is very powerful for one main reason. The whole thing is true. And the whole thing is based on love. So the reality is there's so much love in this routine, and I'm trying to put as much love as I can in everything I do, that it's not just the story. You're giving something from you. You're sharing something so true that the part that is magical becomes very little. When I tell the story of Vegas, all I'm saying is completely true, you know?
Yes.
And then at one point, there's only one bit which is not true, is that this friend sent me a list from all the hotels on the strip. But it's okay. It's just a small one. Whereas before, most of the story was fake. And to be honest, and this is a very big stuff I want to share to a magician, in particular in Europe, I mean in France, but I don't know how it is exactly in other places. But when I learned magic, most of the magician I would see would say something that was not even possibly true. When they were talking, we knew it was bullshit. And I learned from these people. I'm not talking that all of them were saying bullshit, but there's always this funny story that nobody believes, but everybody's like, oh, okay. And I know you guys are understanding what I'm saying.
Sure, yes.
And then we think, okay, look, I got this stuff from a very antique, da-da-da. Okay, maybe sometimes it's true because the object is really unique and it's necessary, and you can build something because you give this object a life, a story. This is important, you know? It's different from just saying a funny story and that has no meaning, even you don't trust it. The thing is, when I create, and I tell you right now, and if I start from what we say during this interview, I realize that I'm taking the time to give more storytelling in my act now than I used before, and I understand the power of it in corporate events in Europe, in Paris. I had to go so fast. It's mostly about effects in your face, and then everybody's happy. But now, because I'm working in a different situation, people are having drinks on the bar. They are on holidays. It's like they don't even have a wallet on them. So the way you interact with them is completely different, and they are ready to listen to the story.
Right.
So now I'm realizing that this story, if it comes from your heart, if you share something deeply and based on something you really love, I'm a spiritual person. Spirituality is not necessarily an easy topic to deal with people, but it's funny when you can find the moment when it has enough meaning that it's not too much of a crazy way of thinking or to give a meaning, and then you make this connection with people, and then you illustrate yourself, and then you propose the experience, and more I'm sharing something that is really connected to who I am. I'm no longer wanting to stay in somebody else's shoes. And most of magicians, most of us, I know people were doing the same picture as Lance Burton, and we can see that with all those guys at the moment doing the, how do you call it at the moment? You know, people are, their old promo, they're posting on their old promo.
All the headshots, yeah.
Exactly. And it is normal. We get inspiration, but at one point we find ourselves. And I actually try to share the thing that I love, that I trust. There's stuff that's stupid that I really love. And if I can just put some of it everywhere, it does help to create my personal stuff.
Well, one of the most important things in magic that I have read about, I believe it was in Fitzky's book, who had said you should have conviction. And if you have conviction of a real story, I should say, if you have a real story, it's easier to convince people. You not only have to convince people of what you're trying to share with them, like if you put a coin in a hand and you really don't, your conviction is the coin is in that hand. You have to believe it as well as convincing them they should believe that. But if you're telling a story that comes from the heart, you're not having to make up something because it is coming from your heart. You know that. You know what I'm saying? So that's what they've always said. It's easier to tell the truth than it is a lie, because you have to remember the lies you've told before. And so, therefore, if you tell a good story that is a true story, it will only get better, deeper, and richer, and also more memorable with your audience if you're honest with them.
Exactly. And I make the connection with these seven magic points that Juan Tamariz mentioned, because it's all about that. When it's true, when it's when you have knowledge, when it's something that you really know, you don't need to say much. People will feel that you know about this subject, and it's great. And who recently told me, I think it was magic related. Was it during the 4F? I don't remember, but it was something like, if you know stuff, you don't need to always, never say everything you know. And there was also a second part that says, make people that you know much more than what you say. It was something like that.
I like that.
Yeah. I think we bring this to people. We bring them something. It's much beyond magic. It's really an experience. And magic has to be the element. It's a part of the whole thing. You have fun. You have a good laugh. And we share something deep. And at one point, you just break the thing and say, hey, that was a prediction. And that, really? No, that's not possible. It can't be in this envelope. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the very first hotel key I had from my trip in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you can do everything, and then at one point your trick, you understand, it's hard for me now to think in English, but
you're doing a great job.
Yeah thank you. But it's all about, I'm talking about so many subjects, it's hard to recap, because actually you didn't told me about this question, and I'm glad and there's no problem about it. But there's so much to say about how you become, you make your personality. But really, it is still a big journey for me. And actually, to be honest with you, coming to Mauritius was part of finding who is William Watt. Because at first, when I did the competitions and I won competitions, it was mostly about knowing if I'm a magician. Then people told me, you're a magician. Then now I need to be myself, because I know today when people want to see Voronin, they want to see Voronin because Voronin is the character. It's not about what Voronin is about to say or do. It's about who he is and what he creates around him. And there's many magicians like this. And I think that especially also Blaine, if you look in the nowadays guys, you know that Blaine is about to do something crazy. You mm-hmm. know that something's going to, people don't know, but they are scared already. Because just of his presence, you know.
Yeah, when David Blaine says you want to see something cool, then you know it's going to be crazy. Yeah, yeah.
And this is great. Then at this point, and I think, you know, it is. I haven't found who is William Watt yet, to be honest, but I'm glad I'm getting closer to it day after day.
I want to circle back then to what you had said a little bit earlier as far as some of the changes you've had to make when you move from Paris to Mauritius, as far as your style, your dress, your perhaps even method of contacting clients.
Yes. So clearly, Mauritius is a hot and humid place, which means mm-hmm. that when you perform cards, it is completely different. So I had to pay attention to that, and I could find some deck of cards made of plastic, which are a little bit fragile, because sometimes the painting on the plastic, I don't understand why it is painted like that, but some painting could go. But it is a much more comfortable deck of cards to use here, because it can last much longer here. When you have a client in front of you, you can be 99% sure that this glass is full of ice, which means the hands are very wet. And then if you ask him to hold a card, it's going to be wet. So if you don't pay attention, if you don't mind, clearly it's a great way to have a locator card, because it's going to stick to other cards. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But in general, you don't want that, because on the very high humidity moment, it's difficult. It is hard to handle the card this way. Sometimes also when you do some tricks, for example, I do a Rubik's Cube trick. And when it's humid, I tell you my moves, I have to really pay attention. Otherwise, I lose the rhythm of my trick. Yes. What you want to know about the magic, it's that the weather is completely different here. And it has an impact on many different points. Of course, the first level is the dress, the way you dress. And I used to have, most magician in Europe, suit and tie. And here, it's not. You can't wear that anymore. First, because in hotel, maybe the manager has a suit and a tie, but God knows how he keeps dry inside of this. But it's so humid and so hot. You don't want to be inside that. It's for sure. And of course, the second thing is that the clients are all very casually dressed, and you can't have such a different look from them. I mean, I like right. to have a small difference, but not a huge one. So, of course, it was clear I had to remove my jacket and to go on with a new dress code. And it took me a while to realize the trauma it was to change dress code, because obviously there were many of my tricks I would not be able to perform the same way. I have adjusted a few ones already. And still thinking about adjusting new ones. So I work on new methods. I have also designed a new way of dressing. It is funny because the way I dress now, I was inspired to wear it much earlier. For years, actually, I wanted to have this style. And thanks to Mauritius, now I have it here. And I'm using it every day. And
looks like suspenders and just a shirt, sleeves roll back, mm-hmm. much more casual.
Exactly. So, and I have this zoot suit, you know, this is how I do. I just went for something that I would feel comfortable with and that would be colorful, because that's how I am, and much more than back in Paris. And it is a very different way to approach people. And of course, it's crazy because when I started to do magic, I don't remember who said that. You know, there's so many stuff. I'm very bad at quoting people. But someone said, you know, when you perform in any venue, you want to be noticed from far away. And find a way that you're dressed in a way that people would notice and wonder who you are. Mm-hmm. And I would never forget that. So I would always be very elegant. Of course, sometimes I had my silver jacket. So it was a lot of my personality, I would say my identity back then. And here, this way, when I'm somewhere, people must ask themselves, who is this guy? Because there's one guy with suspenders and pink trousers, you know? And I think it's a very good way to connect with people before we even do magic. And I'm glad I could find my way. It's still work in progress, because I can see what I would like to improve on that. So yes, I had to adjust my trousers, and I needed a way that, you know, at first I had the slim jeans, and even if they were a nice tie, if I just have 2 coins in the pocket, you could notice. And of course, people always like to tease the magician, because they want to, they're thinking, oh, you're hiding something somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I have the dress code I found, those trousers are perfect, because I can have stuff in my pockets without being too obvious. So I can have a full deck of cards, I can have my coins, I can have my lighter, I can have anything I need to produce during my act, at least what I need, you know. And even if I need to put myself in the corner, change what I have in my pockets for the next table. But it's a great adventure. And I'm also, I have already a design of Toppit to work in the same look as you just saw. And mm-hmm. it's a great method. I was talking with a friend of mine, which is Frederic Da Silva, who is a mentalist that performed in Vegas at Paranormal at what hotel is that?
Who is that you're saying? Who's the mentalist?
It's Frederic Da Silva.
Oh, De Silva.
Paranormal. Yes. Frederic performed at the Baddies, I forget that. Yeah. It's a crazy adventure, and I love to think of new things that I would have never thought of before coming to Mauritius.
Are there other magicians competing with you, or is there a vibrant group of magicians in and around Mauritius, or are you pretty much the only one?
To be honest, I am the only. I am the only one that is performing here. There's a few magicians here, but clearly, we don't really compete in the same level. Mm-hmm. They are doing their stuff very well. The thing you have to know is that the rupee here, the currency is rupee, and the rupee is very low. The average salary here is something like less than $300 a month. That's the average salary. So, mm-hmm. of course, that's not everybody's salary. But clearly, if you think of that, then you realize that just buying any trick can be a fortune for them.
Right.
But of course, some magician, they have good stuff and they are dealing with good quality material they can import. But I don't feel a competition. But to be honest with you, I didn't even feel competition when I was in Europe. Not that I didn't have any competitors, but just that, you know, there's a place for everyone, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I was in Europe, I wasn't feeling like I'm in competition, you know. I had more or less four shows a week, sometimes more. But I was not feeling like, oh, my God, I've got competition. Here, I think we can have all the magicians. We don't even need to cross each other. And then after, there are different markets, different pricing also. So we're not dealing with the same clients, and it's okay. And I'm happy that I am actually not taking their place, because it's also something I pay attention to. And I have some resorts who contacted me. And once I knew they were dealing with them, I wouldn't take their place, but I don't want to. I think it's not necessary. There's room for everybody here.
Right. Well, that's great. That's great. So what are your long-term plans as we start to kind of wrap up over here? As far as the future, are you planning on staying Mauritius, or are you still playing fast and loose? It's like, well, we might see where the next adventure might take me.
Well, clearly, I think that the first moment of my life when I decided to take an adventure and become crazy was becoming magician. Uh-huh. Then the next thing was to build up this career when in Europe, they don't believe it's a proper job. And I, from magician around the world, I understand that it's not a proper job on planet Earth. But the reality is that we can make a living of it. And of course, I think part of all the successful magician, we are proud that we finally made it and we can make it. And we, but most magician, we are very proud that they could make it, make a living, build a family and have a great, you know, a business going on for years now. So the next crazy stuff was coming to Mauritius. Today I'm here and I'm not planning to move anywhere for now, but God knows where I will be tomorrow.
Right.
But I'm building some project at the moment, which may keep me in Mauritius for a little while, and it's related to magic, and I'll be happy to share with you what these projects are.
Sure. I would like to know what you're working on.
The thing is, you know, after COVID, it was a big struggle to realize what would be the future for anyone.
Exactly.
And especially when you're a French magician on a foreign island where you are a foreigner and where your pricing can be a bit high for most people. So you just think that after COVID, it's going to be it's really a big question mark. What will be my future? Thank God, things are going back. And to be honest, much, much better than before. So far, so good. But it's a question. Sometimes I can't ask what are my long-term project, because I believe that I'm someone who's thinking, you know, not so far, and I'm taking life as it is. But of course, you know, it's also a great moment to see opportunities. And from 3 months now, I realize I want to build my close-up room. I mean, my room dedicated to the art of magic. So I am working actually with my lawyer to present this project to who it will be it's necessary to show because I already know where I will be doing it, and it will be a place where I will be performing magic, of course, and it's going to be every week. It will be also a place where I will be welcoming magicians from all around the world. So that's going to be fun because I really look forward to welcome my friends from all around the world and to bring this to this island. So that's a very positive stuff. And I believe the island will have this opportunity. It's going to be also a place where kids will be able to come and learn magic on during their holidays. And also it's going to be the part of the project is also to create a festival that will bring magicians here once again and create a big event around it. So it's crazy because on such an island, when you talk about magic, I don't want to be rude, but most of the people think, okay, you're going to make a rabbit appear from your hat. And then it's very interesting now to take the time to put such a project down into a presentation to show them, okay, let's talk seriously what magic is in the world. And then a part of this project, I put the light on places such as the Magic Castle hidden in LA, such as places like the Roosevelt, Hotel, like the Nomad Hotel in New York, such as Hidden Wonder in Canada, such as other places around the world where people are ready to buy tickets, sometimes very expensive, like $350 for Chamber, the Chamber Magic, I think that's the name of
Chamber this, Magic, yeah, Steve Cohen's in New York, right.
So people are ready to pay for it. It is something that is great, that works. Average room are about 30 seats. And it's going to be also a privilege for the tourism that's going to be here.
Right.
And it's going to be a small element, adding tourism and bringing stuff here, happening here. And I'm very proud of this because, to be honest, when I came to Mauritius, they ask you, what are your projects for the island? Because I had to be able to fill in a form. And of course, they ask you, okay, it would be great if you teach magic, blah, blah, blah. And of course, you say, yes, yes, yes. And it's not that you don't trust it. It's just that you're going to say, of course, if it's possible, I will do it. But maybe it will not be possible. And, you know, I first need to make my living, you know. But I'm so grateful that I can bring this to this island and achieve their dream through me, and also make the island benefit from my network. As you know, we are 4F members, so I'd love to welcome guys from 4F and people such as Sonshan Farquhar already heard about the project, but of course all the other 4Fers that will be listening to you already know about it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Michelle and Wirt also know it already, and it's exciting.
That sounds great to have a close-up theater. Do you have a name in mind or a tentative working title for the name?
Not yet, because at first I was just thinking, okay, it's going to be William White Close-Up Gallery, but Close-Up Gallery is too close to the Close-Up Gallery at the Magic Castle, and I don't want that to happen. So I'm really thinking about it for now. I have a few ideas, but it's not yet decided.
And timing-wise, this could be a year from now or by Christmas, or how soon?
It could be all set. I think the best would be to be all set by September or October.
Okay, so within this year. That's great. And so we'll be hearing a lot more about that, hopefully, as this unfolds.
Exactly. It will unfold because I think we have to think positively.
Exactly.
God knows when. And I believe this is a really beautiful project. It's going to be positive on so many levels. I think it's just a winning project for everyone who would be involved.
It does sound like win-win. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has to be. And also, you know, I know that, you know, I'm a performer. I've been traveling enough to understand, you know, what condition we could be expecting and what is the work. So I will do the maximum. Of course, God knows what will be the maximum, but I will do the maximum to make sure that when performer comes here, it doesn't feel like, okay, it's okay. No, we want him to also have a great experience because this island is lovely. The people are lovely. I'm going to do the maximum. So the magic, you know, will be just great, and the condition will be great. And then, you know, I put a lot of love in this project. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, good luck with that. I'm sure this will be a success. Well, as we wrap up the episode over here, I thank you, first of all, very much for your time. But of course, as you know, this is called the Magic Word Podcast. And I always like to close by asking my guests what it is that it's your philosophy of life. What is your word or words?
Wow. Okay. Once again, we'll connect back to this experience of being in this small island, tiny confetti, 1.2 million people, and very far away from Europe, from USA. And I realized that during the confinement, during the lockdown, I was still connected with the Magic Castle, who asked me to perform for them with
doing virtual magic shows.
Exactly. I did the show for them. It's just an honor, you know. I am one of the guys who perform in the close-up gallery every year. And if I make the math correctly, there's two magicians every week, and it's just 52 weeks a year. So that means that I'm part of the 104 magicians every year at the castle. I'm happy about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you're on this island and the castle says, okay, can you do the show for Valentine's Day during the lockdown for our audience? It's just such a big honor. And I realized that no matter where you are, it was a big lesson for me as well. Then after, it is the Monday Night Magic who contacted me. And right. I did the show, and they put me in their best of, thinking it is a great show. And as you know, it was a struggle for all magicians. It was a lot of work for all magicians to do the online shows. And I'm pretty sure I could have done better.
No, I saw the show on Monday Night Magic, and it was awesome. It was very impressive.
Thank you. And once again, you know, you want to try to make sure you rebuild the connection with people, the proximity, that the virtual environment will not kill the magic effect, etc. So I want to share with you, and this is maybe the best thing I've done in my life, and I'm happy to share to whoever think about it. Just go for it. Just go for it. You know, I could have been in LA, I could have been in Paris. I am here today. I'm in contact with you. I'm part of the 4F. I'm building a project that is in the middle of the ocean, but my life is just crazy at the moment. I have maybe a little bit more work than my colleagues in Europe at the moment, because it's not so easy for so many reasons, and I hope everything will get back to normal for all the colleagues around the world. But I'm just feeling that forget, as you already did, by killing some ideas about what a normal job is. Don't stop there. Just go and leave your stuff, because you know what? Here, I'm on an island. I'm going to scuba dive in the morning. I'm going to sport. It's just 5 minutes away from here in the afternoon, in the evening, and the afternoon and in the evening, I'm performing in beautiful places. And God knows where I'll be tomorrow. But I'm not losing. I'm not missing anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not missing anything. And when the castle calls you to do the show, you just feel, okay, I'm still on planet Earth. I'm still connected to everybody. And what must happen will happen. And maybe God knows where this magic place I will be building will create new connection, new exposure. You never know. But I love, and this would have never happened to me if I was in Paris. I would have never thought about this in Paris. So, and especially also my magic, you know, today I'm working sleeveless. So I tell to my audience, hey, you know what? Just because of 40 centimeters of fabric, I'm more magical than I used to be.
Ah, funny.
So it pushes my limits. It pushes me from my comfort zone, even if I'm still keeping one foot inside of it. But this would be my message. This is really the adventure is beautiful. Of course, you have to calculate, and not just calculate, but to really estimate what you are doing. You know, you have to have a vision. You have to be visionary to visualize things, and not do crazy stuff. So, because of course, you can't just go on an island, think it's going to be okay, and it's going to be a big
problem. Need to be realistic.
Exactly. But go with your heart, go with love, go with your feelings, and just do it. Because after all,
love it.
It could be a great success or one more experience.
That sounds so great.
That's my big
great advice. Good advice to live by. That is wonderful. And you're living proof of that, of actually doing it. So congratulations on all your successes and those yet to come, which will be coming in the near future. Hopefully we'll be hearing more about this as it progresses. So keep us in touch.
I'll keep you updated. Thank you so much, Scott, for having me in your podcast. Thank you for all of those magician friends and maybe non-magician who are listening to you. It's a great honor, real pleasure, guys. If we know each other, just know I miss you all. I'm looking forward to catch up with you. Please send me a message if you hear this, if there's something you want to share. There's so much to say. So,
and they can write you. What's your email address?
William@willwatt.com.
Yeah. Great. Thanks again, William. I appreciate that. From Mauritius, that was William Watt. And this is Scotty Al. Wow. Thanks so very much, William. You had so much to say. I was just so interested in hanging on every word, and I'm sure all you listeners were as well. That was just some gold that he was talking about. And I wish you every bit of luck on your theater and everything else that you're doing. I just think by going out and doing it is, you've paved the road for us to follow. So thank you very much, William. And again, I want to remind everybody and thank our sponsor this week. That is Poe's Magic Conference coming up August the 18th through the 21st of this year. I hope to see you guys at that conference. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember to go with your heart, go with love, and go with your feelings, and just do it, because it'll be a great success or a good experience. This is Scotty out.